Thank you for that. Look, we've got our final session for today, and it's going to be a great one. So I want to introduce to you those that were here last night. I gave him a huge introduction. I'm giving him another one for those that were. Nathan Moles. Nathan is a great man of God. He's married to Karen over there, and they worship at Macquarie Park Salvation Army, a vibrant, exciting ministry expression of the Salvos in a public housing estate community in North Ryde in Sydney, and they serve in ministry there together. Nathan's grown up involved in issues of surrounding homelessness and youth issues in around the inner city of Sydney in street level, and he tells me he's the son of Paul and Robin and the brother of Sarah, Paul and Robin Moles, and he's a great guy. He's passionate about Jesus. He's passionate about investing in the next generation, and I just believe that Nathan not only speaks to the next generation, but he speaks to all generations. I believe God's got a special anointing upon his life, and the Holy Spirit is clearly evident as working through him. And I believe if you open up your hearts to what God will share through Nathan tonight, you'll be truly blessed. So why don't you welcome Nathan Moles.
Yo, oh, you can hear me. Hello. Awesome. Okay, well, I just got a couple of quick thoughts to share before we, you know, obviously wanting to close. We want to honor the times that you've been told when we'll finish here tonight. But man, what a fantastic day it's been, hey. And yeah, like I said, I walk in the footsteps of a lot of amazing people, and it's been a blessing to be able to share and talk alongside and hear from so many fantastic speakers. And so what a great day it's been. Hey, what a banquet that's been prepared for us. And I hope you guys have really enjoyed that and really sucked as much out of that as you can, because, you know, it's fantastic stuff on offer here. So really quickly, just wanted to talk about, you know, to finish up really, is I have a little the sound clip I'd like to play. So if you just want to listen in just really quickly, you might find this voice familiar. And if not, I'll let you know who it is. It's actually General William Booth. Did you know that actually they have recordings of General William Booth speaking? Maybe some of you knew that, maybe some of you didn't. It's actually this thing called a wax tube. So there's like hot wax, and basically when a person would speak, this is back in like the 1880s, the vibrations from the voice would make these little indents in this wax thing, and then you could play it back on a special machine. So it's low quality, so you're going to have to listen in nice and clearly, but we're just going to hear a couple of words from General William Booth for just 2.5 minutes.
I am glad you are enjoying yourself. The Salvationist is the friend of happiness. Making heaven on earth is our business. Serve the Lord with gladness is one of our favorite mottos. So I am pleased that you are pleased. But amidst all your joys, don't forget the sons and daughters of misery. Do you ever visit them? Come away and let us make a call or two. Here is a home, fixed in family. They eat and drink and sleep and sick and die in the same chamber. Here is a drunken hovel, void of furniture, wife of skeleton, children in rags, father maltreating the victims of his neglect. Here are the unemployed, wandering about seeking work and finding none. Yonder are the wretched criminals, cradled in crime, passing in and out of the prison all the time. There are the daughters of shame, deceived and wronged and ruined, traveling down the dark incline to an early grave. There are the children, fighting in the gutters, going hungry to school, growing up to fill their parents' places. Brought it all on themselves, do you say? Perhaps so. But that does not excuse our assisting them. You don't demand the certificate of virtue before you drag the drowning creature out of the water, nor the assurance that a man has paid his rent before you deliver him from the burning building. But what shall we do? Content ourselves by singing a hymn, offering a prayer, or giving a little good advice? No. 10,000 times no. We will pity them, feed them, reclaim them, employ them. Perhaps we shall fail with many, quite likely, but our business is to help them all the same, and that in the most practical, economical, and Christ-like manner. So let us haste to the rescue, for the sake of our own peace, the poor wretches themselves, the innocent children, and the Savior of us all. With too much help with the means, and as there is nothing like the present, who in this company will lend a hand by taking up my collection?
Oh, could you hear that to that? It was pretty hard to hear, wasn't it? But if you listen, if you really listen carefully, I hope you were able to pick up at least some of the lines that he said and some he said. And I thought some of you might just be blessed, actually, might like to hear the founder's voice. The founder's voice. He sounded a bit like a pirate, I thought. I don't know. He had that very, like kind of voice. But I imagine that, you know, back in those days, he would have been speaking to large crowds all the time because, you know, William Booth was an evangelist. I think at heart he was really an evangelist. And in terms of that was, I think, his real anointing and gifting. But he was also a very brilliant man in many other ways. And, you know, he started out as a Methodist minister, and then when he left the Methodist church and just became a kind of independent evangelist before he started the Christian mission, which became the Salvation Army, he would just often, you know, get up in the middle of, as you do in those days, get up in the middle of the main square of the town or wherever you are and just start speaking God's word. And we don't really do that much anymore, but, you know, he would do that. And I imagine that back in those days, they didn't have a sound speaking system like what I'm talking into now. So I imagine he just would have been like, "Everyone, listen to me," and just would have had to scream at the top of his voice. And I imagine after many, 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 many years of doing that, your voice would probably get very, very croaky and kind of what it sounded like his voice was. But anyway, once again, that's just my imagination running wild. So William Booth, some of the things that he said in there, just, you know, just gems. It's like his 2.5-minute sermon he gave called "Don't Forget." Don't forget, don't forget about the poor. And it's just, there's so many little gems in there, but one is particularly that I wanted to highlight is right at the end there. He's talking about, he goes, so he basically, he starts off by saying, you know, "I'm glad that you're enjoying yourselves. And I'm glad that you guys have enjoyed yourselves, you know, this weekend, that you, I hope you have, that, you know, you've had this fantastic time. We've been able to fellowship, we've been able to hang out, we've been blessed." Who'd like, let's actually, can we just celebrate and thank the guys who've set up the cleaning team, the cooking team, the tea and coffee team, the tech guys, All the people who pulled this event together, all the people who've been behind the scenes serving, and sorry as well for the guys who've led worship and just led us in that way. Let's give them a round of applause as well. You know, all these guys who just put in hours of work and preparation and behind the scenes stuff, and they're the guys that, you know, so often we can just forget about. And I just want to make sure we honor those guys. So, you know, thank you so much for serving us this week, all of you, and you know who you are. "I'm glad you've enjoyed yourselves." And that's where he starts. He says, "I'm glad you've enjoyed yourselves." But he says, "Amidst all your joy-making, don't forget about the poor." And then he goes on for about 1.5 minutes to kind of describe this picture of a family that's broken, that's addicted, that is in sin and in pain and just trapped in that. And then he asks a rhetorical question. He says, "So they brought this on themselves, you say, perhaps." He just kind of asks the question and doesn't really answer it, just goes, maybe that's true. Then he says, "Our job is to help them all the same. Doesn't matter whether they maybe through bad choices brought on themselves. Our job's to help them all the same." And then he goes on to say, "So what shall we do? What will our response be? Okay, yes, you know, I do want to do something, but what are we going to do?" And he goes, "Offer a little good advice, pray a prayer, sing a little hymn." And he says, "No, 10,000 times no." And then he goes, "We'll feed them, employ them, reclaim them." And then he goes, "Perhaps we'll fail with many." And he says, "Quite likely. But once again, our job's to help them all the same." And he says, "That's the most practical, economical, and Christ-like manner." And then he says, "Let us haste to the rescue." I love that. It's 2.5 minutes, which is gold. And it just captures, I think, the heart and the spirit of the Salvation Army. We're a movement of people who just get in there. You know, we Christianity with its sleeves rolled up, as many say. I've got my sleeves rolled up. And, you know, basically getting in there, getting amongst it, not sometimes worrying so much about theology or about presentation or planning and all that kind of stuff. Just getting in there, seeing a need and responding to it with Christ's compassion and love. And that's one of the things I love about the Salvation Army. And William Booth captures it so beautifully in this little message that we heard. But so to this weekend, I hope you guys have had a great time. But what's our response going to be? Hey, What is our response going to be? What are we going to do when we go back to our normal rhythms of life? And we tell people we went to this conference and when they ask us, what are you going to do? What's your answer going to be? And that's something that we want to kind of wrestle with just in the next 10-15 minutes we've got. I just wanted to show you one more little video before we get into that, is because I just would love to leave us with a real sense of hope this weekend. You know, it's something I spoke about on the first night, on the Friday night, is that sometimes we can get so overwhelmed. Like Leah just did a fantastic presentation this morning of us for some of the social justice issues internationally that are going on, and sometimes you look at these statistics and you can just be blown away and go, oh man, this is just massive. But in response to that, I just love to show this little video, and I just love to quickly talk about I'd love to just end on a note of hope. So let's just watch this little video on the screen. It's about the Millennium Development Goals and progress thus far. Guys, I don't know. I watch that and I get filled with hope. Like, there's still a lot of problems, especially in that, I guess it's focused on world poverty and third world nations. But that actually, you know, we can't get like beaten down and actually depressed by the fact that there's still so much wrong. Is that actually, if you look over the last 20 years, we've actually seen a massive amount of steps forward, and there's still a long way to go. And so we need to celebrate the things that are going, the good things that are happening. But then we also need to, as it says, accelerate. We need to keep moving forward. And especially it's challenging us that towards 2015, which is in 4 years, we need to get there for the Millennium Development Goals. So, you know, I just would want to say to you guys, you know, be filled with hope, hey? You know, be filled with hope. Know that there's no person that is too hopeless or too far gone, that Jesus cannot actually make a difference, that Jesus can use us to actually make a massive difference in this world. But it starts with small steps. It starts with building relationships. It starts with basically putting your hand up saying, God, I'm willing for you to send me. And let's pray, Holy Spirit, that you would send me. Show me where you need me to go. Show the people. Bring them into my life. Open my eyes. And so, look, yeah, guys, I just want to just encourage you, hey, be filled with hope. Be filled with hope as we near the end of this amazing weekend. So I'm going to invite up Leah. She's going to come and share. We're going to talk right now about some practical ways. Here's the, for you guys who are like, you've been here all week and you've been like, oh, they keep talking about this stuff, but I want to, you know, what can I do? This is your time, and really this is all our time, is that we're going to have a couple of people and they're going to come, they're going to share about some opportunities in this division, in this territory, locally, that you can get involved in some, and also encourage us with some good things that are going on. So I'm going to hand it to Leah for a minute.
I won't take too much of your time, because if you want more information, you can come and see me later or tomorrow. But we do a lot of things in our, I guess, division and in our territory, probably that you don't all maybe know about. Things like we have the More website, the More Youth website. It's not just for youth people, but we're launching a new social justice part to that initiative. A lot of the young people that work with social justice are going to be putting together practical ideas for you to ideas for what you can get involved in your local area, so that even if you live out in the middle of Whoop Whoop, you can still get involved. And that starts in August. So keep an eye out for that. So it's a More website, and there's a, I guess, social justice component to come to that. But I think for one of the main things for our division is because we're such a big division, and I can't, you know, we can't all get together and do massive big outreaches or whatever it might be. It's really about, I guess, resourcing you for your local church, and that's, I guess, part of my role. So if you come up with an idea and you, I guess, you see a need, and but you're not really sure on where to go next, give me a call, and if I can't help you, I can put you in touch with, we've got so many social justice workers now. We're really, really blessed in our territory and in Southern Territory, and we all want to help one another. So if there's something you need, or you need us to advocate on behalf of someone in your community and you just don't know where to go, give us a call and we'll put you in touch with the right people, or we'll help you. I can come down to talk to your church or to talk to you guys about something that might be particular in need in your community. And I mean, that's part of my role as well, is traveling around to advocate and encourage people and just to educate, because, you know, this is a big issue and there's a lot of things that people really want to be get knowledge about. Also, I think for our division, since February this year, our division has sponsored 30 kids. In that time, well, that's the biggest amount in our territory and in Southern Territory for one division. So we really are doing incredible, and we've got 18 children here that are desperate. This is not just they kind of need your help. These are kids that don't go to school, don't have food on the table. Most of them have no. Half of those children haven't got either parent. Most of them only got one parent and have lost one to HIV. Some of those children have HIV themselves and can't afford the medication. So that's a practical thing that you can do. It's $25 a month and it's life-changing. And I don't just say that. I know. I've seen it. I've had the chance to meet some of my children before and will later. And I know the example and the incredible response that they have to your giving, and they are just blown away that you, who are from the other side of the world, would care about little old them. That's how they feel, that you really do care. So it's $25 a month. If you want to sponsor a child, come and see me. You can take a picture and a profile. We send it away and you'll get the real copy, and you'll get an A4 size of information. You can write to them, send them gifts and a lot more things. So I really challenge you, sponsor a child. You may not think you can do much, but $25 a month changes their life and their future, because they get an education so that they can change their life. And it feeds their whole family usually, not just them. So that's really awesome. Gifts that keep on giving. I know a lot of you know about them now. Really encourage you to grab a brochure on them. Again, our division's been way up there, again, in buying gifts that keep on giving. And we really want to promote that. We have so much stuff in Australia, stuff that we really don't need. And but we still like to give gifts. And gifts that keep on giving is a great way to do that. For those that went to the elective today, Tony got to speak a little bit about, you know, how it's working and what it's doing. And it's really changing communities, not just, it doesn't just change one person, it changes a community, your gift. Of, it can even be $5, but that changes their lives. So I really encourage you to get involved with that. I really want to encourage you, obviously you care about social justice because you're here. And I really want to encourage you, don't leave, don't stop getting informed when you go home, because we don't, like all of us, they don't even, like, you know, these wonderful people don't even know it all. There's so much to learn and there's so many resources out there. This is a fantastic book, Be a Hero. It's by Stephen Coy. If you know Danielle Strickland, that's her husband. They've been, and by Wesley Campbell, and they've both been incredible, I guess, what's the word, pioneers for social justice work in their country. So really have a great, get involved, get it resourced. Take the time to read a book or to watch a DVD, and you know, then you can hand it on. A book you can hand on. You may not feel comfortable talking, but you can say, look, this is something you might find interesting, or watch this DVD, or you can get a bunch of friends over and say, let's watch this DVD, and then start discussions. Because when we start discussions, that's when we can create change. So I really encourage you to do that. Jacob's going to come up and talk about Investor Treks, which is something that Jacob started, but also we've got an Outback mission coming up, and this is something, it's $180 to go away for 7 days and to chat, you know, Adrian said upstairs that when people go to his church to do ministry, it makes an impact on the community, but it also impacts them. I can say 10 times over that for those that do mission trips or do time at anywhere in a rural community or in the marginalised communities, you're the ones that is really blessed and it'll change your life. So Jake's going to share with us a little bit about those.
Awesome. I've just had a privilege of coming back from PNG and walking the Kokoda track with 8 students, three teachers, and another friend from Rocky. Just an amazing experience and a challenge that so many people aspire to do at some point in their lives. And so there's a huge market out there and a huge opportunity for us to be tapping into. And that's what Investor Treks is all about, allowing people to enjoy an exhilarating experience, a challenging experience, but also for us to be able to share some of the salvo history, some of the war history, and also enable us to use some of that money to invest back into Papua New Guinea. All our money that we make, not that we make much, we are able to invest back into Papua New Guinea to some of the some of the projects that we've got happening over there, which is just awesome and just such a great opportunity to provide employment for our porters and guides and stuff on the track, and who are, themselves are salvos as well. So that's an awesome opportunity to minister and disciple those guys as well. One of the things we're going to be doing in September is the Youth Outback Mission, and this is also provided us an opportunity to part sponsor with Investor Treks. We're going to be part sponsoring this mission trip to make sure we can get everyone out there. And so we're part subsidising the cost of that. So that's another a way that we can invest back into the lives of our young people. But we're going to be going out to Urundanji, which is an indigenous community 2 hours past Mount Isa. We're going to be going out there and ministering with the young people who live there. Some of the locals. We're going to be hopefully mixing with some indigenous elders and sitting down with them and hearing some of their stories, some of the Dreamtime stories. Hopefully there'll be fire and damper and singing and all that sort of stuff. We're going to have a sports day in the park on the Wednesday, have a sausage sizzle, lots of great fun. We're going to have joy flights as well. We're having a day off at joy flights and some kayaking. And so it's going to be heaps of fun, big road trip to get out there and back. So you're more than welcome to be involved if you're over the age of 12, I think it is. So if you come and see me later on, that'd be awesome. If you're interested in trekking the Kokoda Trail or a building project, you're more than welcome to be involved in that as well. Thank you.
Was there someone else that was... Laurel? Where is she? Here she is. She's just going to share quickly with us about some of the ministry through welfare here in Bundaberg.
Thank you. I won't keep it too long. I'm Laurel. I'm the welfare emergency relief officer in town. And most people that know me know that it's not just a volunteer service for me. It's my mission and my ministry. And earlier on in my emergency relief work, I realised that because of our fractured society, there's a lot of people out there that haven't got anybody that can just sit and listen. And they feel isolated. So I wanted my office to be more than just a handout centre. I wanted it to be a ministry centre. So I approached the administration in town here, and eventually over a number of years it's happened. And we now have a lovely lounge part down at our office, and it's open for anybody and everybody to come in. And I envisage that there'll be people that will just sit and listen to people. Now, for an example, one gentleman came through my office, and he'd been through a number of times, and each time he came in, I saw that his self-esteem had been chipped away a little bit more and a little bit more, and he was very down this day, and I happened to have a little bit of time that I could sit and listen. And I said, you're a bit down today. And he said, well, after I spend half an hour doing my housework at my flat, all I've got to do is sit around and stare at the four walls because I haven't got anybody and I've got nowhere to go and nothing to do. I hooked him up with the Tom Quinn Centre. I asked him, did he do volunteer work? And he said, well, I've been to several volunteer agencies and they don't want me because I've got a bad back. I hooked him up with the Tom Quinn Centre, and he was eventually put into the furniture store. He came back a couple of months later and he's a different man. And the furniture store closed down here and they combined it. So he was out of volunteer work then, and he came in the other day and he was talking to us. And I said, well, I need somebody to help me. Would you like to help in this little room? And he said, oh yeah, that'd be great. And a lady came in Friday. When she came in, it looked like the weight of the world was on her shoulders. She was crying, she was upset. She sat down and had a cup of tea, and this gentleman said, do you want to talk to me? I'm here to talk to you. If you want to talk to me, I'll listen. And she said, you want to listen to me? That's really great. You know, if you've got time, I'll talk to you. She didn't leave smiling, she didn't leave happy, but she left with a sense of being cared for, a sense of there was somebody out there that was willing to sit down and listen, and she had hope, which is what I want that room to be. I wanted it to be a room of hope, and that's why it's called the Selah place. Selah is a word from Psalms, that the original meaning is lost, but the modern interpretation is to stop, rest, reflect, listen, and a never-ending blessing, which is what I want that place to be. There is room down there for more people. If you think that you would like to help in that room, I will have a questionnaire next week out front, and all I ask you to do is fill it in, and then I'll get back to you as to whether I can use you in the room. At the moment, it's only open the 2 days that we are open for welfare, but I would like to have it open 5 days a week because I know that there is a need for, because society is so fractured these days that a lot of people have nobody to just sit and listen and talk things over with. And I'll stop there, otherwise I'll go all night because it's been my vision for a long time. Thank you.
Thanks, Laurel. It's fantastic. Yeah, go for it.
I just want to add something. I was going to add it before, but I don't know why I didn't. But when they were talking about the panel, they were talking about age and how sometimes we think, you know, what can I do? You know, I don't really know what I can do. We have a lady in our church in Rockhampton, and this is exactly the same sort of idea. I think she's 78. But she's the youngest 78 I've ever met. She jumps around more than any of the youth in church, and she, you know, she's got more energy than I do. And but she has this contagious passion for Christ. And she put her hand up about a year ago, I think it must have been, yeah, about a year ago. We were looking for people to come onto welfare, just to listen, to sit, make a coffee and tea while they waited, and just to chat. So she did this, and we have had, I think it's up to about 25 people now make first-time decisions just through that. Some of them, and now people come and they don't want welfare. They'll say, I'm not here for welfare, I'm just here to chat. And so that's what they came for originally, but now they don't need it anymore, but they come because they know that they can chat. And now it's grown from one lady to this, I think it's a team of 8 of them now, and they take it on. But originally it was meant to be the idea that they would take it on roster, but they love it so much too, because they are all elderly women who haven't got husbands or have passed away. And so they come along because they want the company too. So there's these 8 women, and you don't even have a chance to walk past. As soon as you walk in the door, can I make you a cup of tea? Can I talk to you? You know, how's your life been? And we've had kids come to Mainly Music. We've had kids come to Sagala just through that point of contact. And it's true. People in our society do not have anyone to talk to. They may not need welfare, but they need people to talk to. So, yeah, just, you know, anyone can do that. And even if you're not from our church, or if you're from another church, everyone can do that. You know, you can sit and chat with people that may not have that.
It's fantastic. And what you've heard about here, guys, is just a couple. These are just a few. I'm sure there's so many more going on in this division and going on. And you're probably a person from your core or from your area. You're like, oh, I could say something, but we just don't have time. But you've heard about, you know, child sponsorship. You've heard of gifts that keep on giving. Heard about, on the web, on the Salvation Army salvos.org.au. There's a lot of resources on there, as well as salvos.org.au/more, which is like the youth stuff for all the young people here. Check that out. There's going to be resources coming up there. You've heard about Investor Treks, and you've heard about the Outback Mission. That sounds like an awesome opportunity. If I lived up here, I would be going, definitely. But you guys are just going to have to go on my place. And you've also just heard from Laurel about a response just from a single community, like not like huge divisional territorial, just actually just a local response of just actually trying to connect with people. So all of these things, you know, there's some great stuff there. And let me encourage you guys that those are some great options, but there's so much more out there. And really, we just got to be praying, Holy Spirit, just show me where you want me to be. Show me what you would desire for me to do, you know, reveal to me the people, the names, the faces, if there's a program that you want me to participate in, and just to be faithful to that. Hey, you know, probably right now in terms of practicality, probably the most practical thing that we could do, I think of those things is, you know, down here, how's it, 18? We have 18, and these are real people, these are real children in real countries facing real poverty and real issues. And you know, I sponsor 2 kids to the Salvation Army, and Karen sponsors 1 as well. It's because we sponsored them before we got married, and now we sponsor them at 3 as a family. But I've been challenged, just as you were speaking and looking at these faces, that, you know, I need to take on a few more. So I just really wanted to open up a time now where specifically, I think, I'd love to not see this table have any of these kids' faces on it at the end, because if there's people here, you think, you know, I actually am challenged, I need to do at least something practical, and something just so small thing that can change a child's life is child sponsorship. I think it's a given that every single Christian should sponsor a child. It's an absolute given, and probably more than one child, because we're just so blessed financially here in the West. So, and then there's also individual children, but then there's also different projects and homes as well. So as we enter into this time, I'd really love to invite you to come forward. And if that's your feeling, the Holy Spirit is challenging you and convicting you of that, which I know He's convicting me, I'd just love to encourage you and invite you to come forward. And it's an opportunity to do that as well. If you're just wanting prayer yourself, like you're really feeling this, I want to do something, I want to take this forward, I don't want to just be chatting, I don't want to just have this be a talk fest and a listening fest, but nothing happens, that nothing actually shifts in my life, you know, I'm so desperate that is not what's going to happen for me from this weekend, then I'd just also love to invite you and encourage you to come forward here and to come and just, you know, maybe you want to pray on your own, or maybe you would love someone to come and pray with you and partner with you in that, in praying, Holy Spirit, I want you to do something in my heart that, you know, that I would go away from this place and not be the same, that I would go away and not come back to, you know, I'll fight 2010 and nothing's really changed. You know, that wouldn't that be sad? And wouldn't that be a tragedy if that was our testimony? But that's not going to be our testimony, because the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to do things in your heart tonight, in your life tonight. So just as the guys play over you and sing over you, I'd just love to encourage you and invite you to come forward. So if that's a child sponsor, if that's you want prayer, if that's you just want to come forward and make a declaration, you know, that God's on in your heart, it's like, yeah, as a physical act of commitment, I'm going to come forward and stand, then let me encourage you to do that. And there'll be people that would love to pray with you, and or if you just want to come and stand, then that's okay too. So I just want to encourage you to do that in this time. struggle and the fight for justice, we've got to be united, don't we? It's going to take a lot more than the ones or the twos or the threes or the tens or the hundreds or the thousands. It's going to take all of us united together. And I think, I just feel like, it's, the invitation is still open for you to come down the front here. And I'm still seeing children here, so I would really encourage you and convict you and challenge you to, let's, hey, if you can financially bear that, to take that on, hey. Or maybe it means sacrificing something that you might be able to take that on. But, I just love it in this time, for those who maybe are just if you're just sitting there, that actually, to just pray with each other. And just to pray with each other in this time, that, the Holy Spirit will just continue to help us as we push towards that shalom peace, where the world is no longer fractured and broken, where there's actually peace and wholeness in our world, perfect peace and wholeness in our world. And I just encourage you guys to pray together, because let's be unified in this. Let's pray in agreement, because there's power in that. When it's just my prayer on alone, but when suddenly I pray with another, we pray for agreement, there's real power in that. And it doesn't even just, there's power, but it unites us, united in purpose and in this fight. And so I just want to encourage you guys, just to where you're at, find somebody else and just pray together about this. Let's pray. Let's enter into a time of prayer now together for this. Hey. So yeah, I just invite you guys to just where you're at, look down your aisle if you see someone there and wave at them and say, let's pray together. And let's pray that the Holy Spirit is just going to continue to spur us on in this fight for justice. Thank you. Thank you. pray. And if you're already praying, you keep praying, but I'm just going to pray. So Lord God, we just thank you for this amazing weekend. We thank you for all the things that you've shown us, all the challenges you've presented us with, God. We thank you that you've demonstrated to us, Lord, that you are King, that you are Lord, that in the midst of all the chaos and the confusion, the pain, that God, you are engaged in it, God, and that you are engaged, you are in the dark places, you are in the places of suffering and struggle, and Jesus, you are reconciling this world to yourself, God, and that you are a God of justice, and you call us as your people to be about justice, to be about your kingdom, to be about the restoration and redemption of society and individual lives and its world. And so Jesus Christ, we would just want to put up our hands and say, Jesus, we are committed to this, Lord. We are committed to this cause as your people in response to your love, in response to all that you have done, Jesus Christ. We are committed to this cause and we're going to give our lives to it. And we know that we don't do it in our strength, but we do it in the power of your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we just say, fill us up and send us out. Fill us up and send us out. Here we are, Lord God. Send us. And I pray the testimonies from this conference from Bundaberg 2009, I'll fight, would be, God, we'd come back next year and we'd just be sharing, going, you know, that the Holy Spirit, he did something in my heart that I just was sent out. I could not but go forth and love and serve and fight for justice. And God, that the testimony would be that there would be individual lives transformed, that there would be internationally, there would just be things going on and the people would be blessed by things that your Holy Spirit does in our hearts and does through us over the next 12 months. And so Lord God, we would just say, have your way in our lives. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.